Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to invite you to turn to your Bibles to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, if you're here this morning and you do not have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you, and you can take that Bible out, and you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. If you're here this morning and you don't own a Bible, you don't have one that you call your own, I want you to know that that Bible there in the pew rack, when you leave today, you can take it with you. You can make that your own. That's a gift to you, and we're glad for you to do that. First Kings 17. We're going to look at verse 8. We're going to read for a little bit here. And I will tell you just from the start that, and I think I've confessed this to you maybe a couple of times since I've been here, Mother's Day is, you know, a Sunday that I don't really try to give moms a bunch of things that I know about being a mother. Because I just don't know about being a mom. I mean, I was raised by what I would consider to be a pretty wonderful mother. She did a wonderful job in our home, I would think. I mean, not that she's perfect. She's made some mistakes, things like that. You know, she came into faith, and there are things that I remember as a child growing up about my mom and her spiritual life, also the way she served and took care of my dad, still doing that. And the way she served and worked in our home, and how she gave herself to volunteer and do things at the church, and just the different things that she did in a tireless manner. And so I am the recipient of that and got to observe that, but I've also observed that in Sue and how she has. And I think in some ways, as many mothers do, especially when you have multiple children, and especially when they're all close together, okay? I mean, I thought four was a lot. I know there's families in this church that have twice that or more. God bless you. And in the middle of that, I think there's a time where it's possible where a mom, she no longer is a woman, she's no longer a person. She's just a mom. And she loses herself a little bit along the way. I want you to know that I've seen that in other women. And I want you to know that God knows and understands all about it. And we as men, we can be raised by you and be married to you, but we'll never be a mother. Just won't happen. And frankly, I'm not interested in being one. yeah, amen. So when it comes to Mother's Day, there's a lot of stories I could tell when I was raised and even watching my wife and raising our own children. But I feel a little disqualified in the fact of giving a lot of counsel that way. There are some things the Lord can give wisdom on. But I just want to read to you this morning a passage about one particular mother and where we can draw some things from her life. And men, if you're in this room, this is not the time to just turn it off because the qualities And the characteristics that we are going to draw out from this woman's example apply to our lives. We don't have an excuse today that says, I'm not a woman, I'm not a mother. Every one of us is called to these characteristics. Even you young men who will never be mothers, but one day you will marry a woman who will bear your children. And you will do everything that she tells you. First Kings chapter 17. We'll go to verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of that city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand too. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. I only have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. We're going to read some more here in a moment, but here is this woman, and she's out picking up sticks by the city gate. You have to understand that she's just gathering stuff to make a fire to heat up the last little bit of oil that she has and a handful of flour to feed her and her child. And it's going to be, she's planning that this is the last meal. See, right now what's going on in the land is there is a famine and a drought that's going on. And they're waiting for rain. This is one of those 3.5 year periods where there was no rain. It's somewhere in the mix here, in that time frame. And Elijah comes to that city out of the direction of the Lord and sees this woman and begins to have this conversation that we're reading about. So I want you to get the backdrop of what's happening here. And she explains her situation, that the economy has run out for her and for her child. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have told you. But first make a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Are you ready for this? They're just having this conversation, and then the prophet no longer is the man. Now he says, I'm going to be the prophet. I'm going to prophesy to you. I'm going to tell you something that the Lord has said. The jar of flour shall not be spent. That's a fancy way of saying it's not going to be used up, guys. Okay. And the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, used up, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. I want us to look at this woman. There are some characteristics that stand out about her. I mean, you have to know that she is this widow. She has no one to care for her. She's just trying to care for her household, trying to care for her and specifically her son. She's out gathering sticks. We know it's for a fire to heat this oil. She wasn't out begging. And there's nothing wrong with times where we're in our situation where we have to ask for help. But though this is the woman's potentially her last meal in her mind, she is out doing what she needs to do. She's being faithful. She's not looking for an easy way out. She's not looking for an audience to notice what she's doing. She is just going about her business and being faithful to the point of making a last meal. I mean, she is budgeting. She has budgeted the flour. She has budgeted the oil over time. And it is finally coming to its last handful. A last meal. A last supper, if you will. She's gathering sticks just enough to heat up the oil one more time. She is being faithful. She knows that there doesn't seem to be much of a future and it's not much longer. But she is still out being faithful. She's letting that child know that I'm going to do what it takes to help you, to give to you, to provide for you, to do whatever it is I have to do. Faithful. Regardless of circumstance, all of us in this room have probably seen this in someone else's life. And you and I need to take hold of it. And we do what we have to do in faithfulness, whether we feel like complaining, whether we feel tired, whether we feel like, what's the use? I'm only going to live for another day. It's called being faithful to the end. Because sometimes what we see as the end is not yet the end. Be faithful. Don't give up before it's time. I've seen this in my wife. Tired, exhausted, at times not much resource, but a child needs something. My wife's gone without sleep, Greg, just like mothers in this room. She's woken up out of a sleep, unlike her husband. I'm kidding, I've woken up too. When she says, hey, you awake? Yes. Given of herself, just like mothers in this room, faithful to the end. I'll tell you what. There is something about the maternal gifting that I don't get it. It goes beyond. It exceeds. Faithful. What if we could add that to our life? Our life of faith. Our life of serving. It's interesting that she is there going about her business being faithful. Caring to what she sees as a possible end, faithfulness. And here comes this man and says, would you get me a drink of water? She complies. And then he adds in, and could you bring me a little something to eat? She tells a story but agrees to do it. She agrees to do it. I want you to know that giving out of our need releases God's presence, provision, and promises manifested in our life. I want you to hear that. Giving out of our need, in times of need, giving of the resources that seem so limited, I want you to know that they release God's presence, God's provision. They release blessing and the fulfillment of promises into our life. What is our tendency when the resources are slim? We tend to clutch them. We tend to hold on to them tightly. In fact, some of us in this room, we don't even need to be or have limited resources, maybe have extra, and we have this attitude to clutch. You You can find throughout Scripture and other places that giving out of need, the response is God notices and He releases His presence and provision. He manifests the fulfillment of His promises. They're not just promises we've believed in and promises that we claim and promises that we hope for. It is the manifestation in our life that His promise gets fulfilled. That it actually comes to pass in our life. She was faithful, she was serving, but she was obedient and had faith. She had faith. She had faith. You can say, but you know, she had the prophecy. She was told by the prophet that if she would go and use up the last and bring it to him first, and then her and her household could eat, that the flour wouldn't be spent and the oil wouldn't go dry. Listen, it still took obedience and faith, and she expressed it. Well, yeah, but she had a prophecy from the prophet. Listen, you've got the Word of God. You don't have to wait for a prophet to come to town to tell you something. You have the Word of God right here. It is prophecy. It is prophetic. It reveals who He is. Don't wait for some supernatural divine message to come to you to inspire you for faith and obedience. It is right here in front of our eyes. This Word is living. It is active. It is the living Word of God. It is bread for us. She heard the prophecy and she obeyed. She expressed faith. Listen, you care for the needs of your child. We care for the needs of our children from when they are born because they cannot take care of themselves. We do that tirelessly. And just when you start to get the routine down for the first one, and they're still somewhat of an infant, then all of a sudden the news hits. You're pregnant again. Number two happens. No, don't start looking at her like I'm, oh, Katie's pregnant. Don't start that. Just because she happened to be over here when I said it. I was referring to us. Our first two are 13 months apart. It's possible. News hits. And then you kind of almost get two down to a science. And then you're pregnant a third time. And then it's just survival. One, you still do everything you first did. Second one slows you down a little. Three, you don't go out to eat anymore and people stop inviting you over. So we figured, why not have a fourth? Tired, worn out, love the kids, but you lose yourself. And every mother in this place, I want you to hear this. In the first part of what I read, the Lord said to the prophet, I have commanded a widow to feed you. Now, think about this. The Lord could have fed Elijah any old way He wanted. He could have had the ravens bring food, right? Because we've seen that. He could have blown in manna on the breeze. He could cause water to flow from a rock to quench his thirst. He could have caused a fruit tree to sprout up in the desert and the prophet could go eat. But he said, I have commanded a widow. Now, The widow did not know. When it says the Lord has commanded, it means the Lord has arranged it. You go. You just obey and you go. Listen, here's the thing I want you to notice. She thinks she's down to her last resource, her last meal. She's tired, she's worn out, she's had it. Rightfully so. Doesn't seem that anyone else was around to help her. Who noticed? The Lord said, you know, I'm going to meet her need. So I'm going to take my servant and I'm going to send him over there. And I'm going to expose the kind of character and faith that this woman has so that it can be seen and recorded so that in 2013, on Mother's Day in Sparta, Wisconsin, at New Life Assembly of God, the people can know about it. He noticed her faithfulness. He noticed her need. He wanted to give her opportunity to express faith, because when she expressed faith, it released God's promise and fulfillment into her life. Mothers, when you're tired and you've had it and you're exhausted, and you think no one is noticing, even the people who live with you who don't seem to give an encouraging word or a lending hand, be faithful. Continue to give out of your need. Obey the word of the Lord that is given to you. You express faith. And I tell you, I promise you, based upon his word and who he is, he will manifest the fulfillment and the satisfaction in your life. You're only looking to make it for the next meal or the next day. God's plan is to sustain you much longer. It says that her and her household ate for many days. Do you know the faith that it would take to go and take your last handful of flour, whatever's left in the jar, the last bit of oil that is left in the jar, and take these two things over the sticks that are now lit, and you begin to make this bread, this cake? The jars are empty. There was only enough there to make the actual meal. And it's the last meal. Next day comes and you're hungry. You know that they're empty. But you go back because there was a promise. And as she looks into the jar, she has enough flour again for the next meal. Enough oil for the next meal. It's empty. But they're hungry again. She goes back to what was empty. Every moment, an expression of faith. I would dare to say that it would be very challenging for us to know when something's empty to go back there and look for it. Unless you're a man, because we've learned that we can't find stuff the first time anyhow. It's true. I just looked here. Now they're here. No one put them there. It's where I left them. It's the same thing in the fridge. The other night I was hungry in the evening, and I was looking for bread. So I go to the bedroom door and I knock ever so gently, because it was late in the evening, but I think I could see a little bit of glow of light under the door, which means she's still awake. And so I gently knocked on the door. I hear her voice, and I just open and crack the door a little bit, and I say, where's the bread? Because it's not in the fridge, and it's not in the bread box. Okay, because the bread box is in our kitchen. The bread box will be over here on the end of this counter, and then it's L-shaped, and then the fridge is over here. And in the L-shape of this, there's this big island. And she said, the bread is on the island. Like in plain view. You're only engaged. Be thou forewarned. Where's it? It's on. Oh, out there in the wide open. Then I had to make an excuse for myself where only the Lord and I heard. And I said, see, they never put stuff back where it belongs. To go back to an empty jar because the promise. The Lord notices you, mother. He knows your need. He knows you're tired. Let the word of the Lord come to you to strengthen you, to feed you, to inspire you to give out of your own need, that his promise can be released and manifested in your life. I want everybody to say this with me. I will be faithful, regardless of circumstances. I will give out of my own need. I will do things in faith, so that my children will know and see and taste of the Lord. We care for their physical needs. We care for their emotional needs. And we can bring them to church. And we can let them listen to the preacher and the teacher and all of this. And it's good and it's right. But I'll tell you where they're going to be inspired. When they observe the faithfulness. When they observe the giving out of need. When they observe faith and obedience and a release of God's fulfillment and promise in your own personal life, they will be inspired by it. It won't be a lecture. It won't be a talk. It will be an experience for them because they see it and taste of it and are recipients of it through your life. We tirelessly care for their physical needs. Will we tirelessly express faith as if their spirit isn't as important as their body? It's for every mother in this room, but it's for every father in this room. It's for every single female and male in this room. These characteristics aren't just for moms. They're for us, all of us. So we honor mothers today, but I want every one of us to feel encouraged and challenged by this widow who is out being faithful without an audience and knew how to give to a stranger when she didn't have barely enough for her and her son. I don't care if things look empty to the naked eye. If God has promised, he will satisfy. When you're looking and just hoping for the next meal, God has a plan to sustain you for much longer. It's not just reminding him of his promises, because I've heard it. It's not just reminding him of his promises. It's about expressing faith in him and obeying him that brings the release and the fulfillment of promises to feed you much longer than one day.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.